Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithsimmery.com. Welcome to Sex with Simmery. This is Dr. Timmery, and I am so enthusiastic to bring back Jesse Nicole, the head of the LA chapter of the Sex Workers Outreach Project, who right now sounds like she is in the middle of an aviary because LA is full of birds. So welcome back to the show, Jesse.
Thank you so much, Timmery. I'm happy to be here.
And I'm happy that you brought the birds with you because it's kind of delightful.
I did not plan that. So.
Well done. All right, so we have a lot of cool stuff to talk about because SWAP is doing some amazing things right now. You want to give us like a little... Well, first of all, we should back it up just a little bit. For anybody who didn't hear the previous episodes in which you have joined us, can you tell people a little bit about SWAP?
Yes. Sex Workers Outreach Project is a social justice network working to end violence and stigma against everyone who works in the sex industry. We're a national organization, and I am the current director of our chapter in Los Angeles. One of the things that we really prioritize is building a strong community of sex workers, and that's really at the core of everything we do is bringing sex workers together to address our own needs as a community.
Very cool. Yeah. So right now you've got a whole lot of stuff going on related to that. It's kind of blowing up. So what's on your plate?
Well, the first thing is last week we had our first ever coalition building reception where we set aside our monthly general meeting to invite community members and community organizers together so we could talk about different social justice projects that are happening in LA and how we can support each other's work, how we can work together for both sex workers' rights and generally social justice in Los Angeles. And for the first time we've ever done it, it was really, really amazing. I was really happy with the way it turned out. We had some people who do outreach to trans women in Hollywood. We had a lawyer, which is our first lawyer, which we're very excited to utilize his services for legal advice. We had some people from Occupy LA and just a couple different activist projects all together in the same room, which was really, really cool. Coming up later in the summer, we're going to be hopefully at both the Los Angeles Pride Festival and the Los Angeles Trans Pride. And then we have our own fundraiser. We'll be the beneficiaries of Legendary Bingo at Hamburger Mary's on June 20th. So that will be a very fun time. We also recently, this month will be our third meeting. We started a sex workers peer support group. So it's a place where sex workers can come and talk about problems or issues or pressures that they may be facing in a non-judgmental and very supportive environment. And I'm really, really thrilled that we have someone who has crisis counseling training and who is very, very good at facilitating that group. It's something we've been missing for a while, so it's good to see that starting up. We will also have a booth at the International AIDS Conference in D.C. It's going to be a very, very exciting conference. It's the first time that the AIDS Conference has been held in the U.S. in about 10 years, and there's been a bit of trouble in that the U.S. relaxed travel visa restrictions on drug users and HIV-positive travelers specifically for this conference, but did not relax the visa requirements on sex workers for the AIDS conference, even though we are a high-risk community. And one of the things that I find even more troublesome is the amount of legislation regarding sex work and HIV, particularly in Los Angeles. So we, as a national community, are hoping to make a very strong showing to discuss HIV prevention and policy at the International AIDS Conference.
So just to clarify, that's you've got a whole lot going on there and a lot of increasing visibility for the movement. I'm actually just curious about the travel restriction situation. This is all brand new information to me. So there is an existing. There are barriers to travel if you identify your occupation as sex worker, or what is mm-hmm. the situation?
That is the situation. If you identify as a sex worker, you cannot enter the U.S.
Interesting. And so anybody who, and how does this information come about? Like when you're applying for your passport and you live in, you know, a country where it's legal, is that how the information comes up? Like,
as far as I understand, that is the way it works. I don't know the full details because immigration law is much more complex than I really have had time to delve into. But I think it is both if you self-identify on your application or if, for whatever reason, you have a conviction or a record and it comes to the attention of immigration.
That's fascinating.
I don't know the details on that one, though. This is sort of a sex worker community talk. I'm not sure of the legal details.
Interesting. So what are the things that you hope to bring to or take away from the conference?
I'm really hoping to learn much more about the HIV prevention community and what is being done, because I'm not as knowledgeable as I feel that I should be, and because I find it very fascinating and want to learn much more. One of the things that we feel is very important is that sex worker voices are a part of this conversation. One of the other things we are hoping to address is the U.S. is currently adopting, for the first time, a national strategy on HIV and AIDS, and they have excluded mentioning sex workers from this strategy. And we have problems with this for a couple of reasons, one of which, as I mentioned, is the amount of legislation on our bodies regarding HIV status and sex work. The other is that sex workers, particularly those engaging in outdoor work or survival sex, are a very high-risk population for HIV, which is largely due to criminalization and poverty and other risk factors. So we have been told fairly explicitly that we as a community need to address this on our own. And we feel that if you're in the business of preventing HIV and wish to have a national strategy, that marginalized populations should be a high priority.
Yeah, it seems sort of arbitrary to just pick certain groups as somehow not, I'm not even sure what it is, if it's worthy of inclusion or like just we're going to pretend that it's not happening. Like if maybe we don't address that this is an actual means through which HIV is transmitted, then it'll just like cease to be the case. I can't see how somebody in the medical field could behave in such an outlandishly unscientific way.
Well, first off, this is the political field, not necessarily strictly the medical field.
Also true, yes.
And I really hate to be terribly cynical, but I really think most people don't care about sex workers' bodies because sex workers are not seen as full people. Therefore, our bodies don't necessitate full care or treatment.
Arguably, the nature of a disease that spreads from one person to another, like, you would want to consider any channels by which people would get it, I would imagine. And that would also include the people who are clients of sex workers or the people with whom the clients have relationships. Because we're considering vast swaths of people there who are being just not even remotely considered.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And yeah, wow.
Again, part of this for us is just a long tradition of stigma against sex workers and the legislation of that stigma against sex workers.
Yeah. And in staying on the politics and sort of international aspect of it, so the Secret Service scandal of that has gotten a little bit of attention recently, could you give a brief synopsis to people who, for whatever reason, might not be familiar with that?
I can, and please correct me if I get some of the details mixed up. Essentially, so this was in Colombia, where prostitution is legal, and the Secret Service, I don't remember if it was one or two members, were patronizing a prostitute and then tried to refuse to pay her. So she was able to call on both the help of another sex worker that she was working with and the hotel staff and cause a fuss. And the fuss was there was a customer who was trying to rip her off. And because prostitution is legal, then not paying for services is illegal. And it became a scandal where the Secret Service was shamed for patronizing prostitutes and is turning into an investigation of the wild parting ways of the Secret Service. I'm sure they've lost their jobs by now. And for us, this is really a story of when you decriminalize prostitution, prostitutes are able to look out for themselves, look out for each other, show solidarity when they work together, and also not be ripped off by bad clients.
And it's so fascinating because in all of the reporting on this story that I have heard, which has been from relatively mainstream news sources, and then somewhat from, you know, feminist and like progressive sites where they're talking about, you know, how this whole scandal is being framed incorrectly. But there are all these voices saying that the reason we should be concerned about this is that if Secret Service agents are, you know, visiting sex workers, then, you know, it's very possible that it's all like some kind of honeypot sting and there's going to be some sort of espionage, and the information that they have that is important to national security will get like somehow eked out of them I'm not entirely certain what all people's imaginations are going towards in that way, but like that's what I've heard from it. It's like, this is why we should all be upset, is like our money is going into this because we're sending Secret Service agents to other places and this is what their money's going towards, and you know, our national security is in the hands of these folks who are just, you know,
more concerned that our national security is in the hands of people who refuse to pay for services.
Yes, thank you. That means douchebags are guarding the president. That's what I just heard, actually, is that guys are being
much
douchebags.
I mean, they're disrespectful and they're that's my problem with these Secret Service agents.
The only reason any of this came to light is because it happened in a country where prostitution was legal and she was able to take some sort of recourse. Because if this had occurred in a country where it was not, or even in the United States, the woman would have had to just like kind of take
deal
that lump.
It.
Yeah. Like, what are you going to do? Like, who are you going to call? The police? Like, I mean, they could very well be armed. Like, who knows what all the situation really entails. And, like, it just never would have even come to light. And so it's not even necessarily that people have beef with the fact they're going to see sex workers on their time off. It's like this really is a really clear example of the difference between treating sex workers as business people versus treating them as criminals and like taking away all the rights. So yeah, I'm just rattling off, and I know you have more to say about this. What would you like to say about it?
Again, as from the sex work community, most of us are kind of tickled to see this. It's sort of feels like a recourse for any client that's tried to rip us off. I mean, these people's lives were ruined, and it's kind of nice to live vicariously through the sex workers who are able to bring that to fruition. So it's kind of fun. It's also a huge argument for working together and working collectively, because it's not just that the legal system was there for her, it's that she had a partner there and was able to get support. I can't imagine that reporting the Secret Service was easy. I mean, I kind of hope that it was, but, you know, it's nice that she had someone else there to back her up and support her in that. So yeah. We're very much behind the sex workers in this case.
And I feel like that facet of it, that really significant part about how it came to light that they were trying to rip her off, has been left out a lot of the stories. A lot of the reporting has not included that element. And that goes a long way to show, you know, the stigma and like, that's a pretty central aspect of the tale of what went down, but that's not at all the way the conversation's getting framed by so many reports of it. It's very frustrating.
Yes, I completely agree.
Yeah. And there's articles questioning, like, what were we even doing in a country where prostitution is legal? Shouldn't even be there.
Oh goodness.
Like, what are we never gonna go to the Netherlands for anything? Like, just no one can ever visit the Dominican Republic, nothing. Or Canada?
Well, if we're going to start deciding which countries we visit based on which laws they have in their own country, that's a really, really slippery slope. I can't imagine, you know, what other laws do we not agree with? Are we never going to deal with anyone else on that basis? It's just bad international policy.
And the thing that came to mind when you were talking about the travel visas for the HIV conference, and my mind randomly went to the world of sex tourism, where you go to countries where you can access things that are much harder to get in the United States in terms of, like, underage children and trafficked people and that sort of thing. And, like, I feel like the efforts to stymie that, I would like to see more of, and less of this concern about consenting adults who are all in the situation.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that. Right after this conversation, I'm actually going to Google for a roundtable discussion specifically on technology and trafficking. So hopefully I'll have a field report with much more information on what is being done in that respect.
That's totally awesome. What is the plan for this meeting? Like,
This is actually sort of a pre-meeting. They Google Ideas every year chooses something, a sort of big project for the future to focus on. And this year it's illicit economies, and they're including human trafficking in that. And that will be also later in July. But this is just sort of a roundtable discussion to bring people together to talk about, how does human trafficking work? How is technology used in it? There's going to be me and a representative from SWAP New York talking about the need for sex workers' voices, particularly when it comes to the rescue industry, and how many anti-trafficking efforts sort of devolve into anti-sex work policies. And this is problematic not just for sex workers, but more importantly for trafficking victims, who then don't actually see any benefit in these policies. So it should be a big learning experience for all of us. And I'm really excited to hear what comes out of it.
And I'm incredibly I'm not even sure what adjective to use. I'm very happy that Google is involved, because I feel like that is a pretty big name in making things happen. So to have them have this conversation and to bring sex workers in on the conversation, as opposed to just talking about them when they're not in the room, which seems to be how a lot of things are done.
Well, and I'm not sure if it's related, but in December, the sex work community was actually protesting against Google because they gave millions of dollars to anti-trafficking groups around the globe, some of which are well known for participating in the rescue industry that seems to do more harm than good to the communities they're trying to help. And we were asking that they give similar support to sex work organizations like St. James Infirmary and international sex work organizations. And that was organized by Furry Girl of sway.org, which is SWAAY.org. And I don't know if it's connected or not, but it was a couple months after we were raising attention about that, that we got the invitation to come to the summit. So it's really heartening to hear that our voices are being heard.
Yes. And it seems like there's increased visibility for these issues and increased activism. And perhaps that's just the nature of who I run with. But do you feel like that's a reality, that the movement is gaining some traction?
I absolutely feel like that is the case. I mean, I can just say that since January, Swap LA's membership has grown significantly, as has our support in the community. And it's exciting. I think there's been a groundswell of support, and it's really, really good to see. It's an exciting time to be a part of this movement.
Okay, so what do you think are, going forward, the next goals that we can have, everyone who's allied with this movement? Like, what can we have as, I don't know, necessarily reasonable expectations, but obviously, you know, decriminalization is not going to happen in 2013. Like, that's not going to happen. But what is going to happen? What would you like to see happen?
Hopefully increased support for sex workers community, hopefully increased access to resources such as healthcare, such as training for those who want to exit the industry, and really collaborations with other movements that are happening, with other racial justice movements, trans rights movements, queer rights movements, even the war on women. We're definitely excited to be part of this sort of feminist reimagining of the conversation. And I think having our rights included in other projects is going to be really, really crucial to our success.
Awesome.
So, yeah, I'd like to see us working together.
I am very optimistic and very inspired by this. And I'm so grateful that the LA chapter of SWAP has you at its helm, because I feel like you've been rocking it. So
thank you very, very much.
So so once again, this has been a delightful conversation surrounded by birds. I hope you enjoyed your trip to tropical paradise while you're listening to the podcast. So very many thank yous to Jesse Nicole, who's the head of the LA chapter of SWAP, who's also going to be giving us a field report after this super awesome meeting, which we're excited for.
All right. Thank you so much, Simri.
Yeah, thanks for being on. And thank you, everyone, for listening, and have a good day. Thank you for listening to Sex with Timory. Please check out more from sexwithtimory.com, where Monday through Friday there's new content, including polls, weekly sex columns, and Friday sex links. And if you have any questions, comments, or violent reactions, please email them to sexwithtimory@gmail.com. That's sexwithtimare@gmail.com. And thank you.